In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Been kind of on a fear kick here, preaching on fear the last two Sundays, and we're going to look at fear again today. 2 weeks ago, living a fearless life in being virtuous. And then last week, we talked about the fear of God and just what that phrase means. Today, we're going to consider another kind of fear through the lens of King Herod and his horrible decision to execute John the Baptist, today being the eve of that commemoration. You might remember a different Herod, a different King Herod from when Jesus was born. That was the Herod who had the baby boys of Bethlehem killed in hopes of stopping the new Messiah in infancy. Now, that Herod was long dead by this point. The King Herod from today's story was that Herod's son. It's not unusual for a son to have the same name as the father. But besides the same name, they had something else in common. They were both very fearful men. And in fact, in our tragic story today, King Herod displays several types of fear. Now, this King Herod had stolen his brother's wife. He had stolen Herodias for himself, and she loved that because she preferred to be the wife of the king instead of the wife of the king's brother. One had far more prestige and probably power than the other. But John the Baptist spoke publicly against Herod stealing his brother's wife, and Herodias, the wife, just wanted John dead. Now, Herod the king, it says, was afraid of John, and he kept John safe. But to appease his wife, Herod had John thrown in jail. But this isn't the fear that we're going to talk about today. We get another fear in this same story in just a minute. Herod's birthday comes along, and he throws himself a drunken party. And Herodias' daughter, which is to say Herod's stepdaughter, comes in and dances for Herod and his guests. And Herod is so impressed that he offers his stepdaughter anything she wants, up to half of his kingdom. So prompted by Herodias, the girl asks for the head of John the Baptist. Now, King Herod doesn't want to do this, and he knows it's wrong. It says he doesn't want to do this. He's sorrowful about this. But because he made a promise in front of all these guests, Herod has John killed. And this is the fear I want to talk about today. Herod has John killed because if he doesn't, he's afraid of what people will think. He made this impulsive promise when he was drunk, and what if I don't keep it? What if I don't keep it? What are people going to think? It's one of the most pervasive fears in all of humanity, the fear of what will people think. If I do this, if I believe this, if I admit this about myself, what are others going to think of me? More integrity has been lost over this fear in human history than probably all other fears combined, the fear of what will people think. And the thing is, we're not born with that fear. It's not an intrinsic fear like a fear of heights or a fear of fire. We learn that fear. You know, toddlers, think about toddlers, think about four-year-olds. They don't care what others think about them. And when we were three or four, we didn't either. Toddlers, they'll dance in public without shame, right? When they're sad, they cry, and they don't care. When they're angry, they growl. And they gallop around like a horse when it's time for horseplay. You know, they'll also befriend anyone. Hi, I'm Jack. Want to be my best friend? Hi, I'm Jill. Yeah, let's be horses. And off they gallop. But the day eventually comes when Jack gets teased for playing with Jill. Maybe it's just because she's a girl. Maybe it's because they're in the fourth grade and Jill still pretends to be a horse. Or maybe Jill gets teased. Maybe Jill gets teased for being friends with Jack because Jack comes to school dirty and his pants don't quite fit. And this begins the fear in each of us. What will others think? And if you're not careful, that question, that fear will start to govern more and more of your life. Like you watch grown-ups. When the music starts, half of us won't dance at all. And the ones that do, what do? They look around first to see what others are doing. Are they doing it? Are they doing it? What are we supposed to do? And none of us are going to go around galloping like a horse because we're afraid of what others might think. Unfortunately, this fear about what others might think is far more than just dancing and playing make-believe. The fear of what others think has much higher stakes. It hits me when I try standing with someone who is marginalized, consigned to the corners of society or the workplace, even in the church. What will people think if I stand with someone when they are the ones doing the marginalizing to that person? The stakes get higher quickly. This fear affects speaking up for someone when their reputation is being abused through gossip. If I'm in that group, what will people think if I speak up for the one that's being torn down? Even just being your genuine self, the you that God created you to be, that wonderful, amazing you, can get pressed down in silence, not actually by others most of the time, but by our own inner fear of what others might think. That's what's really pressing down the you that God made you to be. And just a quick caveat here. If your idea of not fearing what others think is, I'm going to go in and do what I want, and I don't care what anyone says, and good luck to anyone getting in my way, that's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're talking about. That's about making other people suffer for what you think is right. The gospel is about doing and really being what you believe, even if you yourself suffer in the eyes and opinions of others. It's not about getting your way, no. It's about having integrity in your own thoughts, in your own actions, regardless of what others think of you. King Herod's fear of what others might think led him to execute a righteous man when he knew it was wrong to do so over an offhand comment he made when he was drunk. And Herod was a king, a governor, yet he was ruled by the fear of what others might think. The ironic thing is John the Baptist had every physical reason to fear what Herodias and Herod thought. They held complete control over whether he lived or died. But John's not afraid of what they think. And John doesn't go in and hurt them and smash them and start a rebellion. All he does is state the truth without fear. It was wrong for you to take your brother's wife. He simply states it. John's love of God, his admiration of God, his awe of God, and his trust in God's love for him casts out all other fears, including the fear of the king and the fear of the king's wife, and including and maybe especially the fear of what others might think. His love of God and his trust in God casts those fears out. More integrity has been lost over this fear in human history than probably all other fears combined. What will people think? The good news is we're not born with that. We're not born with that. We learn it. And if it's learned, it can be unlearned. If it's learned, it can be unlearned and overcome. Your awe of God, your admiration of God, and most of all, your trust in the love of God for you has the power to cast out all other fears, including and maybe especially this one. Amen.